Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. Today we're going to be tackling a pretty weighty topic, a 3-degree warmer world. I know, sounds a little heavy, but trust me, it's worth really taking a look at this. We're going to be diving into Collision Course, a 2024 report from the Breakthrough National Center for Climate Restoration by David Spratt. Now, this report is different. It doesn't just give us like the usual predictions about climate. It goes deeper, explores some of the worst case scenarios.
Interesting.
And you know me, I always like to get the full picture, even if it's a little unsettling.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so.
Well, what I think is fascinating about this is that it really challenges that slow and steady warming narrative.
Right.
It really suggests that things are heating up way faster, and the consequences are maybe much more severe than a lot of models have predicted.
Yeah, the report basically throws a bucket of ice water on any complacency we might have about these 1.5 degree warming targets. It basically states that we've already practically hit that mark,
Yeah.
which is way ahead of schedule.
It is. Both 2023 and 2024 saw global temperatures exceed 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. And what's even more alarming
Oh, wow.
is that every single month from July 2023 to October 2024 has been above that mark. So yeah, we're on track to hit 2 degrees by 2040 if this acceleration continues.
So we're not just talking about like a gradual warming trend anymore. It sounds like we're hitting the fast forward button on climate change. So what is driving this rapid increase? I mean, is it just that we're pumping more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere?
I mean, that's definitely a major factor. Greenhouse gas emissions, particularly CO2 and methane, are at record levels.
Right.
It's like we're constantly cranking up the planet's thermostat. But there are other less obvious things that are contributing to this
Oh,
accelerator.
do tell. That's where it gets interesting.
So one thing we're seeing is a decline in sulfate aerosols in the atmosphere. And these aerosols are often produced by industrial activity. They actually have like a temporary cooling effect, almost like a layer of smog reflecting some sunlight away. But as countries, particularly China, as they implement cleaner air policies, those aerosol levels are dropping. And it's unmasking some of the warming that was kind of previously hidden.
So we're getting a temporary discount on the warming, and now the full bill is coming due.
And then on top of that, we're also seeing shifts in ocean currents and a weakening of our natural carbon sinks, like forests, oceans. Those sinks are incredibly important because they're absorbing CO2 from the atmosphere. But as they become less effective, more carbon just stays in the atmosphere,
Got it.
accelerating the warming even further.
So it's like a triple whammy. More greenhouse gases, fewer of the cooling aerosols, and weaker carbon sinks. If the world is already this hot at 1.5 degrees, I can't even imagine what life will be like at 2 degrees, let alone three.
It's tough to even comprehend.
It really is. But speaking of things that are hard to imagine, the report also talks about how climate impacts are unfolding much faster and more severely than a lot of models have predicted. Isn't that kind of strange that the scientists are being caught off guard, so to speak?
It is surprising, even to the scientific community. I mean, take the Australian bushfires, for example. They reached intensities that weren't expected for another 70 years. The rapid warming of the North Atlantic in 2023 also wildly exceeded projections. And the Antarctic sea ice retreat in the same year was so dramatic, it was a statistical outlier. So it seems that in many ways, climate change is outpacing our ability to predict it accurately.
Okay, so we've established that things are heating up faster than expected.
Yeah.
Why are these sophisticated climate models missing the mark so drastically?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, climate models are incredibly complex,
Yeah.
but they do have limitations.
Yeah.
They struggle to fully capture like the nuances of real-world processes, particularly those that are nonlinear, unpredictable. Things like ice sheet loss, ocean heat uptake,
Yay.
and sudden shifts in those carbon sinks that we talked about. They're incredibly complex,
Yeah.
and they interact in ways that are difficult to fully anticipate.
So we're basically in uncharted territory,
It seems that way.
sailing into a future where we don't know what's around the corner, where these unexpected shifts and surprises are becoming the norm.
And that's where,
That's a bit unsettling.
it is. And that's where the report's focus on plausible worst-case scenarios becomes really important. We can't just rely on those linear projections anymore. We need to be prepared for a much wider range of possibilities. especially those that our models might be underestimating. And that brings us to a rather sobering concept, tipping points.
Yeah, the dreaded tipping points. Can you kind of break down what those are?
Yeah, so think of tipping points as critical thresholds in the climate system.
Okay.
Once we cross them, changes become self-perpetuating.
Right.
And incredibly difficult to reverse. Imagine a domino effect.
Right.
Where one tipping point triggers another, leading to a cascade of rapid and often irreversible changes.
And what's really alarming is that the report suggests some of these dominoes are already starting to fall.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The report highlights several alarming examples.
Yeah.
The Greenland ice sheet, for instance,
yeah,
likely passed its tipping point 2 decades ago.
Mm.
West Antarctic glaciers are also past a point of no return. Even the Amazon rainforest, which plays a vital role as a carbon sink,
yeah,
showing signs of becoming a net carbon emitter. That would be a devastating blow to our efforts to mitigate climate change.
So it's not just hypothetical anymore.
No.
These changes are happening now.
They are.
And the consequences are potentially catastrophic. But we can't just sit here wringing our hands. Surely the world is taking action, right? We're decarbonizing, switching to renewables, all that good stuff. Tell me we're making some progress.
Well, I wish I could paint a more optimistic picture, but the reality is that despite the positive developments in renewable energy, the world is simply not decarbonizing quickly enough to avert a 3-degree or hotter future.
Hold on a second. I thought we were making progress.
Yeah.
I see solar and wind energy are booming.
They are.
Electric cars are becoming more common.
For sure.
What's the holdup?
Yeah, you're right. There are some positive trends.
Mm-hmm.
But global energy consumption is still rising at a pretty rapid pace, driven in part by, you know, energy-intensive industries like AI and cryptocurrency.
All right.
And while we are seeing reductions in emissions from electricity generation in some regions, those are being offset by increases in other sectors.
So we're basically playing a game of climate whack-a-mole where we tackle emissions in one area only to see them pop up somewhere else.
That's a good analogy.
Okay.
And then to make matters worse, big oil companies and petrostates are actively planning to expand fossil fuel production for decades to come.
Oh, wow.
They're essentially stepping on the gas while the rest of the world is trying to slam on the brakes.
That's infuriating.
Yeah.
It's like they're completely ignoring the science and the urgency of the situation. Can you give us some like specific examples?
Yeah.
That's where I start to feel a little helpless, to be honest.
I understand. The United States, for example, hit record oil production levels in 2024.
Wow.
And is now the world's largest producer. And then we've got the CEO of Saudi Aramco, one of the world's biggest oil companies.
Right.
Has even publicly stated that the world should invest in more oil and gas, not less.
Wow.
And then even Shell, a company that had previously made climate pledges, is now backtracking on its commitments.
Wow. Okay. So the report is painting a pretty bleak picture here. We've got accelerating warming, tipping points being breached, and major polluters digging in their heels. It's hard to imagine what a 3-degree world will actually look like.
Yeah, that's what we're going to explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll delve into the potential physical impacts of a 3-degree world on human systems.
So stay tuned, everyone. We're going to take a closer look at what life might actually be like in a 3-degree warmer world.
Yeah.
And trust me, it's not going to be a tropical paradise.
No. Not at all.
All right. So we've established that a 3-degree warmer world is not going to be a walk in the park. But let's get specific. What will life on this planet actually look like if we hit that dreaded 3-degree mark?
Well, picture this. Vast stretches of the tropics, currently home to billions of people, become practically uninhabitable because of extreme heat and humidity.
Wow.
We're talking regions like the Amazon Basin, parts of Africa, India, Southeast Asia. Places where just being outside for extended periods would be a serious health risk without constant access to cooling technologies.
Wow. So it's not just about things getting a little bit warmer.
Right.
We're talking about potentially redrawing the map of where humans can actually live.
Exactly.
Huh.
And it's not just the tropics that'll be hit hard. The subtropics, think places like the Mediterranean, parts of the United States, Australia, even large swaths of China, they would face severe drying and desertification.
Yeah.
Imagine the impact on water resources, agriculture, entire ecosystems. And let's not forget rising sea levels, which would inundate coastal cities and deltas around the world. Millions, potentially billions of people would be displaced.
Okay, so we're talking about a cascade of interconnected crises, mass displacement, resource scarcity, failing agriculture. It's starting to sound like a dystopian novel.
Yeah.
But are there any specific examples in the report that really kind of bring these impacts home?
Absolutely. The report dives into some very sobering details. For instance, by mid-century, agricultural production in much of the Murray-Darling Basin in Australia could become non-viable. Mm. It's a major breadbasket that feeds millions of people. And it's not an isolating case. We're talking about glacial melt in the Andes and Himalayas, drastically reducing water availability for billions in South America and Asia. Imagine 197 cities around the world experiencing temperatures above 35 degrees Celsius for at least 150 days a year.
Oh, wow.
The report paints a very stark picture of what life could be like in these urban heat islands.
197 cities. That's mind-boggling. I can't even imagine the strain that would put on infrastructure, public health, just daily life in general. And what about food? I mean, if vast areas of farmland become too hot or too dry to cultivate, how do we feed a growing global population?
That's the multi-billion dollar question. The report suggests that crop yields could plummet by 20% or more at 3 degrees of warming.
Wow.
And it's not just the quantity of food that's at risk, but the quality as well. Rising CO2 levels actually reduce the nutritional content of many staple crops.
Oh, really?
Like wheat and rice. So we'd have less food, and the food we do have would be less nutritious.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a sustainable recipe for a growing population. You're right, it's a recipe for disaster. And we haven't even considered the increased likelihood of simultaneous crop failures in multiple breadbasket regions because of extreme weather events. Imagine the impact on global food prices and supply chains if the U.S., China, and Brazil all experience major crop failures in the same year.
It's a perfect storm. Even now, we're seeing conflicts and political instability, partly driven by resource scarcity and climate-induced migration.
Yeah.
What happens when those pressures are magnified tenfold in a 3-degree world?
Well, that's where the concept of systemic risk comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The report argues that climate change doesn't just impact individual systems in isolation. It creates like a cascade of interconnected failures that can lead to breakdowns on regional and even global scales. Think of it like a domino effect, but on a planetary scale.
Right. And the report doesn't just speculate about these risks, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It actually draws on historical examples and warnings from experts in various fields.
Exactly. It cites the Syrian war, for example, which was fueled in part by a climate-driven drought and subsequent food price spikes, leading to a massive refugee crisis. The report also highlights that Africa could see up to 700 million people displaced by water stress by 2030.
Wow.
And remember, that's just at current levels of warming.
It's terrifying to think what those numbers would look like in a 3-degree world. It's like we're on a collision course with a future we can barely comprehend.
Some experts even argue that organized global society as we know it might not be possible at 4 degrees of warming. They describe a world of mass suffering, conflicts over dwindling resources, and the potential collapse of civilization as we know it.
Okay, so we're definitely in the darkest depths of our deep dive now. This is heavy stuff. But I think it's incredibly important that we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Because if we don't grapple with the full scope of the challenge, how can we even begin to address it? What's the point of all this doom and gloom if we don't at least explore what we can do to avoid this catastrophic future?
You're absolutely right. And that's where, even amidst all this bleakness, the report offers a glimmer of hope. Not in some magical technological fix, but in the potential for human agency and collective action.
So it's not game over yet. We still have a chance to change course.
We do. The future isn't preordained. The choices we make today will have a profound impact on the trajectory of climate change. That's what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
Well, folks, we've journeyed through some pretty intense territory in this deep dive. Accelerating warming, tipping points, and a potential 3-degree world that frankly sounds terrifying.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, it is. But I'm not one to wallow in despair, and I know you aren't either.
No.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about solutions. What can we actually do to kind of steer away from this looming climate catastrophe?
Well, that's the crucial question, and I'm glad you asked that. Because while the report paints a stark picture of the challenges, it also emphasizes the importance of human agency. The future isn't set in stone. The choices we make today will have a huge impact on the trajectory of climate change.
So it's not a case of just sitting back and waiting for the inevitable.
Go. No.
We can actually change things.
Absolutely. The report argues that the, you know, quote unquote, official future presented by governments and corporations,
right,
the one with incremental change, market-based solutions, and those distant net zero by 2050 targets,
yeah,
it's just not going to cut it. It's like trying to put out a raging inferno with a garden hose.
Yeah.
We need something much more powerful.
So we need a bigger hose, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
What would a truly effective response look like?
The report suggests that the only way to avoid the worst-case scenarios is through a rapid and potentially disruptive transformation of our economies and societies. It's about prioritizing climate action and human security above all else.
That sounds like a monumental task. I mean, where do we even begin?
It starts with recognizing the urgency of the situation.
Yeah.
And ditching the illusion that we can just continue with business as usual. We need to move beyond these incremental tweaks.
Yeah.
And embrace bold, transformative solutions.
Okay.
Even if they shake things up a bit.
So less tinkering around the edges, more like a complete system overhaul.
Exactly. We need to rapidly decarbonize our energy systems, transition to sustainable agriculture, invest heavily in climate resilience, and fundamentally reevaluate our economic priorities.
So what does that look like practically?
Well, this means putting a price on carbon that actually reflects the true cost of emissions, ending subsidies for fossil fuels, and pouring resources into renewable energy and energy efficiency.
It also means challenging the power of the fossil fuel industry and those who benefit from the status quo, right? I mean, they're not just going to give up their profits without a fight.
You're absolutely right. This isn't just a technological challenge. It's a political one. We need to hold our leaders accountable, demand ambitious climate policies, and support the movements and organizations that are pushing for systemic change.
It sounds like we need a massive shift in our collective mindset.
We do.
A recognition that the choices we make today will determine the kind of world we leave for future generations.
Precisely. It's about understanding that we are all interconnected, both with each other and with the planet. It's about realizing that our actions have consequences.
Yeah.
And that we have a responsibility to act now to prevent the worst of those consequences from unfolding.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners today? I know we've covered a lot of ground and some of it's been pretty heavy.
The key takeaway is that while the challenges are immense, they are not insurmountable. We still have a window of opportunity to act, although it is closing rapidly. The future is not preordained. It's up to us to decide what kind of world we want to create.
So as you go about your day, think about the insights that we've uncovered today, the stark choices before us, and the power we each possess to make a difference. What kind of future do you want to be a part of creating? And what actions are you willing to take to get us there? Because in the end, it's not just about surviving a 3-degree world. It's about thriving in a world where we've risen to the challenge and created a more just and sustainable future for all. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been a journey, but I hope you've come away feeling informed, engaged, and empowered to be a part of the solution.